So lately, obviously, the sort of main insult from the right wing seems to be cuck, C-U-C-K. And we've got Una on the line to tell us about exactly why they decided to use this particular insult. So, Una, where does cuck come from?
Well, cuck is shortened from cuckold. And a cuckold is a man whose wife is cheating on him. And it's a very old idea from the Middle Ages, really, if not before. But it really takes off in the Renaissance. We get a real, from the 16th century onwards, we get a real obsession in popular culture with cuckoldry. And this idea that infidelity is everywhere, but it's actually not men cheating on their wives. It's the other way around. Wives are always, forever cheating on their husbands. And so every man, every married man, is a cuckold. And it's a mainstay of Renaissance drama, comedy, songs, writing. Everywhere you go, in the sort of 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, there are jokes about cuckolds, particularly jokes about horns, because the symbol of the cuckold is horns. Okay. The idea is that the moment a man marries, his wife starts cheating on him, he starts growing invisible horns. And so there's a whole kind of range of jokes around this idea about horns and where they come from.
Okay, so essentially what I'm getting from this is just like, don't get married.
Yeah, I mean, that is very often the joke that runs through so much, for example, Shakespearean comedy. If we think of a play like Much Ado About Nothing, for example, that is all about marriage. It's all about betrayal, deception. And we have these two characters right at the center of it who refuse to get married. And the man is refusing to get married because he says, the minute I do, I'll be a cuckold. And eventually, of course, it's a comedy, so they marry in the end, and so does everybody else. But this is a constant joke that, you know, you don't want to get married because your kind of dominance as a man will shift. You'll become henpecked. This is where we get these ideas of birds pecking. Is that you, because you're married, your wife will take over. And it's the greatest fear in kind of popular culture in the Renaissance that the world will be topsy-turvy. Women will be on top. Wives will become scolds and shrews, and they will henpeck their husbands and cheat on them with other men.
Okay, so I mean, it's interesting though that you brought up Much Ado About Nothing, because the first thing I thought of when you're talking about cuckoldry was Othello, and I was like, oh yeah, Desdemona. You know, she didn't actually do anything, but Othello seemed pretty worried she was cheating on him, so and that didn't work
absolutely.
Out too well.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at, for example, Iago's language in that play, he'll talk about horns. Mm. He'll talk about the horns that Othello will wear. So you start to see it absolutely everywhere. When you see that word horn in you know, early modern drama or comedy of any kind, you know exactly what the reference is. Where the horns come from is a point that's hard to ascertain exactly.
Okay.
Because the word cuckold comes from the word cuckoo, which is a bird that lays its eggs in other birds' nests and forces other birds to raise its young. So you can see where there's this issue about trying to ascertain who the father of the babies is, right? Mm. And that's a real constant anxiety in early modern society. This is a time in which we start to see a real anxiety around inheritance and wills and estates. And that really, really grows. And so you have to know that you're the father of the children that you're passing on your estate to. But of course, cuckoos, and you know, in fact, no bird has horns, right?
Yeah.
So you see in you know, pictorial descriptions of cuckoldry, you see stag horns, you see bull horns, etc. And it's never really very sure. It's very, very hard. I've spent a lot of time trying to work out where exactly does the horns come from. And it's now, I don't even think in the Renaissance people are that sure. But there are various theories, one of which is there are ox horns. Now, an ox is a castrated bull.
Yeah.
So you get that, you know, that idea of emasculation from that.
Okay.
So that's one theory. There's something you'll see later in the period, more in the 18th century, you start to see a lot of stag horns, big antlers.
Mm.
And this is this idea that the stag, you know, has lost his kind of picture of manliness. But there's also another theory, which is the capon theory. And it's the most convincing for me because it uses birds.
Okay.
A capon is a castrated cockerel. A castrated male chicken. So capons are castrated because they start to get lazy and very fat, and so their meat is very juicy. So they're a real luxury item in the Renaissance. But because you can therefore put them in with the hens, you need some way of distinguishing them from the female hens in the farmyard. So what people would do was cut off the spurs from the back of their legs and stick them into the top of their head where the comb has been removed.
Oh.
And if you stuck the spur on the top of the capon's head, it would, in some cases, fix and actually start to grow. And you would have a bird walking around with a big horn growing out of its head.
Oh.
And that's how you could recognize the capon in the farmyard. And so that, for me, ticks every box in terms of this real fascination with birds, and cuckoos and the idea of being henpecked, and also this idea of the cuckold, who's very often in comedy of the period depicted as an older, overweight, kind of lazy, you know, rich man who marries a younger woman and he can't keep her because she's in love with other young men, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So these are theories, and I don't know which one is true, but they're all quite intriguing.
You know what I always find amazing about that this stuff is that the history of them is so interesting, and it's just so mysterious where these things come from. And yet you sort of see stuff like people in the alt-right saying this kind of thing, and it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, for me personally, I kind of read those comments and I get quite distracted by thinking about the etymology of the words they're using. But it's just fascinating.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think, I mean, I just sort of vaguely know this, but like I know in China, you can't give a man a green hat because that's like calling him a cuckold. So yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's sort of these cross-cultural mad, type fear that seems to be there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in countries like Spain and Italy, which, you know, are countries that tend to have a culture that's quite macho, they have a very kind of strict gender roles. The worst insult you can say to a man is, you know, to make the horns with your fingers.
Yeah.
And hold them up behind his head. In our, you know, Anglophone culture, that has become a kind of like little rabbit ears. But that, in Italian and Spanish cultures, is the sign of the horns, which means he's being cuckolded, and it's a direct attack on his masculinity. And that's where all of this. This is why the alt-right have become so obsessed with this idea of the cuck, because they have a very limited notion of what a man's gender role should be. It's very traditional. It's very old-fashioned. He should be strong. He should be out and active and aggressive, while women should be, you know, at home, passive, etc. And of course, the rest of us have kind of, you know, joined the 21st century. I don't really believe that, but this is where this comes from. So it's really quite damaging, I think, to have a gender role that is so limiting and so reductive, but that's where they get their sort of fire from, when they, you know, this ABC article that I've just written has wrote it for The Conversation, and the ABC have taken it, and the comments underneath are incredible about the ways in which they feel under attack. They feel that their masculinity is under attack, even on, you know, by someone like me who's simply writing about why do cuckoos have horns, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a sense that, you know, because you're trying to enforce a gender role that has been exposed as very, very reductive, you'll always feel that people are attacking you, I think.
Amazing. Oh, we're going to have to leave it there. But man, this was really interesting. That was absolutely fascinating. Thank you so, so much for that, Una.